Yesterday and today, Garrett and I have been interviewing in Eugene, Oregon. What is your name, sir?
Alfred Matthias Scott.
That's Danish.
Yeah, Alfred Matthew Skade.
And how do you pronounce that in English?
Alfred Matthew Skade.
And how do you pronounce it in Danish?
Alfred Matthias Skade.
Thank you. I understand there's a story behind your name.
Yes, it started shortly, perhaps 5 or 10 years after, well, 5, probably at the most, years after the Civil War, when my father's uncle came over to this country, and I forget what his name was, that is his given name, but the name was Slut, which means castle or something in Danish. But he settled in San Francisco and was a whaler from there. I worked out of there, went up the Bering Sea in the season and conducted his whaling business. But the name he had, Slut, anglicized and spoken in a more or less improper way, indicating a female dog of dubious virtue. So he changed it to Skade, which was a place name or something in Denmark. But I've had various explanations of it. The closest I came to was that it was some type of blackbird. But anyway, he changed the name to Skade. And when his brother, who was my grandfather, came over, he took that name too to eliminate the same problem he had.
I understand your mother's name also has a little story.
Well, yes, it nothing unusual, I guess, for Scandinavian names, and in that they switch names back and forth. A little out of breath, which I they do this one of them, you know. And but the name of her father was Peter Svensson Vad, Vord, V-A-A-D. And when he came to this country, he used the name Peter Svensson and started his dairy in East Omaha there. And there was another dairy right next to him, a dairyman had the name Svensson, and his dairy wasn't what my grandfather, my mother's father, thought was a properly run dairy and everything. So he went back to his old name, Peter Svensson Vad. Yeah. And that's that. And of course, my grandfather on my mother's side, I never knew him or saw him or anything, but he had a half-brother, or his mother had remarried a fellow named Hansen. So he had a half-brother named Hansen, and there were others in the family too. And that was Uncle Hans over here at Cloverdale. So that was just a little side on my mother's name.
Now, your family went from, after your mother and father were married, they went out into Nebraska and farmed. Can you tell us anything about that farm and your life on the farm?
Well, I can't tell you anything about it. Although I knew the farm, because it was right across the road from where my grandfather, or grandparents, my father's side, lived. And I used to go visit my grandparents, and of course I was well acquainted with them. When I've been back there, I've ridden past the farm. It was just a little square country farm. All farms at that time were quarter sections, 160 acres.
Do you know anything about the crops or the...
Well, of course, everything was corn and wheat and alfalfa.
And a few cattle.
Oh, yes, always cattle.
Absolutely. What was your father's name?
Henry Christian.
And your mother's?
Kirsten Marie Vord.
You also mentioned your grandfather who came to this country. What was his name?
That was Christian Matthias Scott.
And that's where you get your middle
the
name.
Matthew is, or Matthew or Christian run through all the male lineage. I have a cousin who's Charles Matthias Scott.
Did your father remain a farmer all his life?
Oh, no. He wasn't cut out for farming, and he had gone to business school too. And after Grandview, that's where he went on the farm. But he was only there two or three years, and then they moved into Lexington, and he started traveling on the road for Omaha Pinning Company, and he'd cover Western Nebraska, Colorado, and Wyoming, or parts of Colorado.
Did your father then continue with this?
No, he later went into business with another dame, H.P. Mielsen, and they had an elevator and feed and seed store or something like that for a while, and farm machinery like Mitchell wagons and things like that, rakes, harrows, mowers and things like that. Farm equipment for that period. And then later he went into the grocery business with his brother, Matt Skate, who was another Matthias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned that your father was at Grandview College. Could you tell us anything about that part of his life?
Well, nothing except what my mother has reported. I don't think she mentioned that about what I'd spoken to you earlier about the wedding and the best man. I don't know if you're interested in that.
Yes, let us repeat it. Yes.
But anyway, in my life, I eventually wound out here because my parents were out here. But and I was working in the bank in a teller's cage in this unkempt person came up to the teller's cage and looked at my name, Skade, and he said, Scott, and I said, yes, that's the way it's pronounced in Dane, I guess. And he said, did you ever know Henry Christian Skade? And I said, yes, I did. He's my father. And he said, well, where is he? Well, I said, he lives at 14th and Faring. He said, well, I'll go and see him. He says, but anyway, it developed later that he was at Grandview, too. This character, whose name was Nielsen, I forget his initials, and lived in Junction City and had a greenhouse there. But he had whiskers and was unshaven except for a mustache, which was tobacco stained and all that. Anyway, it turned out he was best man at my father's and mother's wedding, which she told you took place in Omaha at her older sister's home. She was married first to another good Dane, Lars Jensen. So that's about all I know about my father's experiences at Grandview. He did say there, I remember saying the athletic activities and stuff like that. I don't remember what it would be.
Now, after the grain elevator business, what did he go into anything else then, or did he?
Yes, he went in the grocery business.
Oh, the grocery, yeah. Uh-huh.
And after that, that went belly up after in the early 20s, after the depression or the recession at that time, and then he went back on the road after that for a while, and then eventually came out west. Los Angeles for about a year, and then came up here in 1924.
What was the reason then that they came here?
Because mother, sister, Nellie, and Jordan Hansen lived here.
Now, did your mother ever hold any jobs outside of being a wife and mother?
Oh, well, she was a seamstress. She worked in, she did sewing at home, and she also, when she was out here, she worked in a
as a seamstress in the shop, and sewed for all kinds of people around here.
Now, did you speak Danish in the home? I know your mother spoke of it yesterday, but how much have you retained of that speech?
Well, we moved into Lexington from the farm north of Cozad, I was, all that I could speak at my age was Danish, which, you know, when you're 3 years old or so, you don't have too large a vocabulary anyway. And as she said, the kids made fun of my sister and myself because we couldn't speak English, but in due time, short time, we, of course, began learning English. And after that, we forgot practically all the Danish we ever knew. And of course, we'd pick it up when we went to my grandparents because they used it a lot, that was one of the highlights of our life, is to go to my grandparents, especially for me, because, as my mother said, she was ill after I was born, and of course my grandmother took charge of me, and I suppose I turned out to be the favorite grandchild because I was always didn't sell a cow. Which means you poor little calf, I guess, isn't it?
Yes.
And so, as I say, I think I was her pet. So, naturally, I thought that was...
Do you remember any sayings that she might have had? There was a sort of little folk adages that she might have...
No, I don't.
Besides poor little cow.
Yes. Would you tell us about the time that your grandparents came to visit you when you were ill? Your wife has prompted us that there's a story.
Well, of course, I spent considerable time in a sanatorium, and they came out, well, of course, to visit the family, but... what?
Mostly to see
you. Oh, yeah. But anyway, they rode chair car. They could have afforded a sleeper, but that was too much... spending money foolishly and everything like that. But they rode chair car, which was 2 or 3 days from Cozad out here. And of course they spent some time here, but not too long. They were antsy. They were going down through California to visit another daughter, but I don't remember this purse bit, but she always carried the purse. And Grandpa, I suppose, even had to ask her for money, but she had one of these little snap purses, and she was always opening that, and I guess she probably opened it and gave me some money, I suppose.
Yes, she opened her purse and took out some money and handed it to you and said this little mine call or whatever.
And sell a cow.
Yes, and with tears rolling down her cheeks.
There was still a great deal of the family.
Oh, yes. Yes,
yeah. Well, this is a picture of them when they're out here.
Oh, now, okay. Oh, yes, yes. Beautiful older couple. And
yes,
look very
he
Danish.
Was shaven then.
Uh-huh, yes. Do you remember, did she have any favorite foods that she would cook for you when you would go to visit her?
Well, not that I know of. She, remember, I know that I had a cousin that lived with them. Her mother, this cousin's mother, husband died, so shortly after she was born, so they lived there, so that we were always making stuff like candy and stuff like that. But my grandmother was a good cook and very famous for her bread. They, of course, had little county fairs, and the minute she walked in with her bread, they gave her the blue ribbons year after year. And she used to carve the bread. She'd hold it on her chest and slice it like this. And I don't know why she didn't perform a mastectomy or something. But anyway, that's always the way she sliced her bread. She, of course, made both the white. The white is the one she always wanted, the blue ribbon at the fair, and also the pumpernickel, too, of course. She made that all the time. It was very good bread, of course. But otherwise, I don't remember. And of course, the Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner was always at their place, and it was traditional, you know, with the turkey and the...
Did you celebrate Christmas Eve or Christmas morning mostly?
It was Christmas Day, yes.
It was Christmas Day.
Yeah, we celebrate our so-called exchange of gifts at home. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go to Cozad. I speak of home in Lexington, which was 12 miles from Cozad. And then we'd go to Cozad to the grandparents for the dinner. And of course, it was a problem because generally in the fall, they used to put your car on blocks and you had to get the car off the block, see that the tires were inflated, and heat some bricks to keep your feet warm, and put off the side curtains, and take off with lots of blankets.
About how long would it take you then in the car to go?
Oh, it wouldn't take long, I don't suppose. And only 12 miles, and the roads were always kept open, maybe half hour.
I mean, the other lady's voice that we've been hearing is Mrs. Skade's voice. Would you please give us your full name?
Mildred Janice Skade.
And I'm going to ask you to move a little bit closer. I think we'll get it maybe a little clearer. Yeah. And when we talked yesterday to your mother-in-law, we had a real feeling that you have great admiration for her and for some of the things that she's done. And I'm hoping that you will share some of your recollections and your memories of your mother-in-law, especially in the way of her handiwork.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, I have a great love for her. She has been a very dear woman, and during my husband's illness, we became very close, because there were several times when he was not expected to live, and we had to share this together. And I think probably that's one reason why I have a greater love for her than maybe I would have otherwise. But, yes, she has been very dear, and she has given me so many things that were her handwork. And, in fact, she gave some of them to her daughter, and her daughter wasn't as interested as I am. And so she then, in turn, gave them to me. And I'm using them. I think they're just wonderful, and so I appreciate them.
Yesterday we heard about some of the Christmas presents. Would you kind of describe the amount of work that she does, even at her age?
Yes, she, each year she said, well, I'm not going to do anything for the grandchildren or the great-grandchildren this year. And then she continues on, and the first thing you know, she's made sweaters or scarves or caps or mittens or something for each grandchild and each great-grandchild. And I think 2 years ago she made ski caps for all of them. This last Christmas she made sweaters for them. And 1 year she made aprons for all of the men in the family. And
barbecue type aprons.
And handkerchiefs for all of the women with crocheting around them. And that was many, many people. I just couldn't tell you how many. Probably 30 at least. And, well, all her life, of course, she has been doing handwork. And she, beside her chair is a little basket with handwork in it. And she never sits down, but what she picks up her handwork and starts in.
And would... Mr. Skade, earlier we were speaking of the part of the Danish countryside that she comes from, and where there's a lot of handwork done. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the projects and the evening that the families had there?
Well, I don't know too much about that. I know that they raised their own sheep and sheared their own wool and carded it and spun it into yarn, and I suppose if I don't know if they dyed any or not, but they used it to make socks and mittens and sweaters and maybe long johns, I don't know.
Yeah, even the men.
Yeah. Oh, yes, and as we spoke a little earlier this morning about, we have a little Danish dish here with a person, a man herding sheep and knitting. And she said, well, her grandfather or something like that used to do that. And she mentioned, as you did, Gerda, that her fella come along and buy them or sell them or trade knickknacks that he had in a little cart or something for these woolen products that were knitted. And also, of course, they saved all their fat and tallow and made their own candles. As a matter of fact, she had a little brother. He was about 2 years old, and they had just been making candles, and I guess they had a bucket of hot water or some large bucket of hot water that they had some used in the process, and he came along and stumbled or something and fell into it, and that was it. It was fatal to him, but she, I suppose, typical Danish youth, that is, she was full of vim and vigor, and when she went back this time, she said it was the most pleasant thing because she had heard something that she couldn't remember when she was growing up there, and that is the nightingale and the skylark. And she heard them at night one night, and she thought that was one of the highlights of her trip back to Denmark. She says, we always used to think we were blessed if we had a stork on the chimney, too. And said there are very few storks around now. But of course, it was a typical Danish home. One end was the house, and the other end was stable, so to speak. And I proceed along that line because with their coming to United States and her father having the dairy farm and the girls worked in the dairy, they wore overalls and went out and dunged out the milk sheds and everything like that, and milked and everything, and besides doing the laundry and baking, cooking, and she tells about hanging, they did the washing for the hired men too, and tells about, of course, hanging out the clothes in the winter there, and how it becomes stiff as a board, which of course is true.
So she was used to working all through her youth, and that's why she can't quit now. Do you remember, or did she teach you any special cooking or recipes or so on, Mrs. Gay?
Well, she has given me a few, yes. I've always been interested in cooking anyway, and so I have watched her make things and was interested in making her chicken soup, for instance, and the dumplings that she used to make for them.
Would you explain to us what those dumplings are?
Well, I'll have to have someone tell me the name of them. What did you call them?
Oh, I wouldn't know.
They would be bala in Danish.
Yes, that's right.
What the consistency, what the...
Oh, yes, it's butter and flour and eggs, mostly. And I remember the first time I made them, she told me how to make them, and I mixed up the batter to use, and I had my chicken soup already, and I didn't realize you were supposed to cook them in water first and then you put them in your soup. So I stirred them into my soup, and I had didn't have dumplings, I had gravy. But she makes lots of delicious things. She makes a soup that she calls Grunko, I think, and it's kale, I guess the Danes used lots of kale. We always raised them in the garden for her. But I thought it was terrible looking the first time I saw it. But it was delicious. It's made with ham broth and the kale and barley and onions and other ingredients, potatoes, I guess. But it's a delicious soup. I had never heard of it before.
Now, you're not Danish.
No, I'm mostly English.
But you seem to have become very interested in the Scandinavian...
Yes, it seems to me that the Scandinavians have a greater pride in their heritage than lots of other nationalities. My English ancestors were very close, but they seem to be a colder type of people than the Scandinavians. In fact, I had a little difficulty right at first getting used to the Scandinavians, because I was raised so differently.
But you feel at home?
Oh my, yes, yes. I love the warmth of their families.
Now, where did you two meet?
Well, I was working, and I used to go to the bank each day to make the bank deposit for the business. And my husband was the teller there at the bank, and that's how we happened to meet.
And then where were you married?
In Salem, Oregon.
In Salem, Oregon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And would you tell us, I know you have one daughter?
One daughter, Sigrid.
That is a Scandinavian name.
Yes,
that you chose.
Mm-hmm.
And would you tell us about your daughter and her marriage and her family?
Well, our daughter married a young man she had gone to school with. In fact, she's all her life. And then when they were ready for college, he went to Stanford and she went to Oregon. And then when he was through school, they were married.
And they live in?
They live in Palo Alto, California.
And they,
and
have,
they have two children, Kristen and David.
And about how old are they now?
Well, Kristen is 23 and David is 21. Will be 21 in June.
Do you think that it means anything to them that they are part Danish, even though by now it's fairly diluted?
Yes, yes, I'm sure that it does, especially the granddaughter. She is very, very fond of her great-grandmother, who is Marie Skade, of course, and writes to her, and she has taken on a lot of her great-grandmother's characteristics, I believe. In fact, she's very interested in handwork. She does all kinds of beautiful handwork and sews very well.
Have you two been to Scandinavia?
No, we haven't.
Any plans to go?
No.
No, we would love to have gone, but my husband's health prevents us from
going. Now, what about your daughters, either her and her husband or the children? Are there any plans to visit Scandinavia?
Oh, yes, yes.
So there's still a great interest in the family for things Scandinavian and life.
Yes,
Scandinavian.
Surely there is, yes. And the blue dishes, that were my husband's aunt and uncle's, are to go to Kristen. And she expressed a desire. I have Minton, China, and the Royal Copenhagen, and she has chosen the Danish dishes.
Our son-in-law has gone to Denmark. In fact, he met Jürgen and Ellie over there once. And of course, Jürgen showed him around Tivoli and all that. My son-in-law went with another friend that was during one summer when they were in school at Stanford. Sigurd has never been there, but they've been almost everywhere else but Scandinavia in Europe. In fact, they're going to England in a couple of weeks now. And
they're hoping to get over to Denmark, too, on this trip.
But all the rest of the family, my sister and her daughter have been in Scandinavia, and Herbert, my sister's
husband. Saw their home places and things like that.
Now, you don't belong to any Scandinavian club or organization or church or anything that,
no,
no, here in Eugene.